Action Park Media.
Are you a little nervous about this episode?
No.
No?
Dude, I just want the camera on. Let's go.
Yeah, I just wonder how... Yeah.
Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Viva Las Vegas. Viva, viva Las Vegas!
Scotty, are you okay?
No, I'm not. I'm not okay.
What is happening to you?
I don't know. I don't know.
A little late today. I'm trying to cover for you.
Very late.
Waves came in hot.
China virus.
China.
Vegas flu.
Hang on. Oh, Jesus. You sent me fucking 800 videos.
I sent you some good stuff, bro.
He's got the Vegas flu. Let's get a mic check here. 1-2-1-2, episode 44.
Quick shift.
Quick shift pod.
At quick shift pod. Dave Brown. He was tough.
I don't have one.
Sheldon Surrey.
Sedin? Henrik Sedin?
How about you say Stefan Richey?
Stefan Richey.
Yes.
I don't know who that is.
Sheldon Surrey.
We are here. We are standing at the top of the mountain. We're looking down. We're with the hardware, okay? We are back from Vegas. We witnessed the hoisting of Lord Stanley's cup, and what a trip.
It was quite the trip.
Yeah, it was a culmination of a very long run for us, too. I'm proud of both of you guys. We fucking banged out 44 episodes in, like, what,
two months? Yeah, we did.
So it was a nice little culmination and a party for two of us.
Yeah.
And Pups, you did your own thing, but...
Okay, well, I appreciate you in a very subliminal way trying to fucking cut yourself some slack. Like, you just had a long playoff run. Like, boy, let's, you know... Cut me some slack.
I did have a playoff run.
I'm tired.
It's not quite the playoff
you
run
think,
that Mark Stone had.
Yeah, how do you think Petrangelo feels this morning?
Well, I mean, I didn't have a broken sternum like Chuck, but I mean, I battled through a lot.
Yeah, well, this was a tone setter, boy, that first goal. Before we just get into some non-hockey related, some details of the trip.
Right.
That was a banger. That was a banger to start the game.
What a game for this guy.
Shorty.
First time that... somebody's had a hat trick in a clinching Stanley Cup Finals game since 1922.
And you know what, by the way? Why don't we just tease the photo where the night ended? Can we play the clip of Kev and Mark Stone hoisting Lord Stanley?
There's got to be a better video of that somewhere.
Well, it's a pretty good video. You dropped your chin. You did a nice little, like, it was strong. There was strength there.
Yeah, I was still going at that point where you had been gone for a few hours. So let's talk first. All right, so we meet up at Burbank Airport, Southwest Airlines, Action Park Media, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and by the way, you said, well, we can drive each other, ourselves there.
We're adults. I don't think we need to carpool to the airport.
No, especially not Burbank.
That was just my thoughts. I'm glad that was, but we got there, everybody was on time, get on the plane. And I break to you guys that I'm going to stay at a different hotel.
Right? Yeah. Yeah,
kind
you
of.
Did. You did.
Didn't go over well with Aves. I didn't want to stay at the Trump. I wanted to stay at the Aria because I knew it was right there.
Yeah.
And
also just to clarify, not for political reasons either.
What?
You didn't want to stay at the Trump.
No, I didn't want to stay at the Trump because
you wanted your own room.
Well, not only that, but I had one of my own room, and the Aria is connected to T-Mobile. It's like a 50-yard walk.
Yeah, it is.
I wanted to be close to the.
All right,
to
so
the
geographically, you had a better lay of the land than I. I called Don Jr. and I was excited to support the cause. So we stayed a little bit off the strip.
Yeah.
We were on the 64th floor.
You guys were in Henderson.
Double doors.
We had double doors at the front door was a double door. I mean, that is a hell of a hotel.
Wouldn't have had a room. It was only two rooms. I got my own room.
You did say that it was a three-bedroom suite.
You said it was a three-bedroom suite. There was two rooms.
It was two. Okay, so it was a two-bedroom suite. And by the way, I would have slept on the couch, or I just would have said, guys, we need the three-bedroom.
Right.
They knew who was there, and they knew who had sent us. Okay?
Right.
So, fine. Can I just backpedal a little bit? I also, for the record, wanted to get into the Yukon, and I said, guys, you know I can drink. I can drive. I don't drink, okay? Tomorrow morning, don't worry about it. You can lay in the back. Let's get to Vegas. We would have been in Vegas. You would have had a club sandwich and a Diet Coke by the pool. We could have got some sun. We sat on the fucking tarmac for I don't know how long.
By the way, we were delayed. Got to Vegas an hour late. We got there an hour late.
Yeah, we had an hour delay, Sean.
Okay, fine.
It really wasn't that bad.
And I like the way that the timing of it happened. It was good. We basically went right to the game.
So I will comment. When Kev makes veteran moves, I like it. I respect the game. You know, he's been in the trenches. He's had a few wars. We exit the airport, and you know, I turned down a car service from the Trump hotel because I said I didn't want to drain their resources. They got a lot going on right now.
Crazy.
Kevin walked out right away, baggage claim. And probably found the best driver in all of Vegas. What did you say to him?
I just said, hey, what's, are you waiting on anybody? He said, just you. I said, all right, let's go. He jumped in. He bounced us around a couple spots for a very reasonable price.
Yep. So that was good. Right. We checked into the hotel. Now, let's address and apologize. We did have a scheduled media hit with NHL.com, who had a good roster of people on the pre-show.
Yeah.
We said, all right, we're going to be there. We get to the hotel 3 p.m. We got an hour to get there, hour and 15 minutes. We got there. I'll just say this. Getting there is jarring because it is
hot.
Hot, and also hot. There's so many people. I've never seen a fucking pre-hockey game with more people partying. I mean, wow.
Raging in the heat and direct sunlight.
But you know what the difference is, too, is that in Vegas, open container policy. So you're allowed to just walk around with your drink outside. Like, you can't do that in Boston or New York.
Right. Once you get into, you go to a bar, you can just get a whatever
you
want.
Oh, you can drink in that mosh pit
in
of
the
people?
Mosh pit.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, some people do at other locations, but it's legal in Vegas.
So this is the tie-in. To Kevin's credit, I understand. Look at these guys just pouring it on. Goals. To Kevin's credit, all right, we got there. It was a little bit jarring. It was like, holy shit, let's get our bearings. We have this meeting right now. Steve Aoki is doing a DJ set basically in front of us, and there's 10,000 people there or 8,000. I don't know. It seemed like thousands. So we called it off. I didn't call it off. Kev pulled the plug. I was ready to go.
I pulled the plug for a couple of reasons. A, it was very hot. It was direct sunlight.
And it was going to be outside. We were doing
it
outside. It
was outside. It was hot. Yeah. And at that point, there was a lot of people there. Anxiety was starting to set in. And I just didn't feel like I was going to put my best foot forward in that interview.
Yeah, I agree. I understand. Here's the
problem. Come on, man. It was hot, and there was no shelter.
Okay, here's the problem.
You had cool sunglasses on. I didn't have sunglasses.
Here's the problem is that what I did was when I said, guys, I got this. Don't worry. We got this all sorted. When I made the approach for the tickets, in my mind, all I wanted, I actually really wanted, just get us in the building, and I want the back of the building behind our backs. I want to watch this game with the people as one of the people, okay? What I didn't know was that the Vegas Golden Knights and T-Mobile Arena, they sell tickets to go to the game, and you don't get seats. I've never been to a fucking arena where that's possible. I had no idea that's the new NHL.
No, we...
You go to Madison Square Garden, you have a seat.
Listen,
if you have a ticket, you have a seat,
we did
right?
We went to Vegas, and I believe the quote was, I said, Sean, do you want me to make a couple calls to see if I can help with tickets? And you said, verbatim, if we were going to Ibiza, if you invited me on a trip to Ibiza, I would just go with the program, and I wouldn't ask any questions. I said, okay, fair enough.
Right.
We get to the game. We do not have tickets.
We had tickets.
To hide.
We had tickets.
We had tickets
to
hide.
Clubs.
Two different nightclubs.
I didn't know there were nightclubs in this arena. I had no idea.
They pulled the curtains around, and we couldn't see the game.
Right. Okay, so fine. So fair enough. What I'm saying is, if we had
you
done
said,
the NHL.
And then the other great quote was, you said, I'm going to have so many tickets that I'm going to be scalping the extras in the parking lot.
I didn't press. Now, what I do know is if we had done that NHL hit, we would have walked out of there with some sort of laminate.
Well,
now, the laminates come, Okay, because this is a great story with a great ending. The laminates do come, but we would have got official NHL lammies that would have let us go anywhere.
Just to interrupt very quickly, the guy said to me, do you need tickets and media passes? I said, we don't need tickets. Sean's got them handled. We could take media passes.
Yeah.
So, again, tickets on the table for us.
Media passes would have been better than tickets.
No. Well... we didn't do the interview.
Well, so. Either way, but it didn't matter because we got it. We could have.
Well, let's. So
with
we
a little
enter.
Heads up. We could have gotten all that kind of stuff. We get in and we don't get in. We do not get in.
Well, we get in. And,
we got in.
And for
we got into a structure called the T-Mobile Arena.
By the way, we got in.
Got into a very large.
We got
structure.
In very early. First of all,
thank God.
We killed. Yeah,
lay
and we
some
waited.
Groundwork.
We waited on an elevator. To get up to a fifth floor, there's five floors in this arena. There's marching bands. There's fucking Elvis impersonators. There is capes. Yeah. How many capes did you see?
A lot of capes.
There was a lot going on. What wasn't going on was tickets.
Right. All right. So do you want me to fast forward that basically for the next 40 minutes, including the first period, Kevin assaulted me to somehow transfer a ticket app. Tickets from my
tickets
app to his phone. Well, whatever it was. And we had the print-offs.
Tickets did not exist.
I mean, I've never seen someone go on a mission like you went on a mission,
oh,
Kev.
Man.
It was beautiful to watch.
It was.
To what? Get in there?
No.
Well, whatever
once you
were
once you realized that Sean had dropped the ball and didn't have tickets, you were like, I will be sitting in this arena.
I'm watching this game.
And yes. You fucking were firing around.
And I left you guys.
I was happy enough to be in the building. But I understand where you're coming from. You wanted
we
to see.
Flew out here.
Yeah.
So I go and I find an opening. I see a crack in a little curtain. I pop up into a hallway.
By the way,
on a door it says Gary Bettman's office box, and I'm like, I'm in the press box. Then I roll into the press box, and man, dude, if you act like you're supposed to be there,
yes,
100%. It's amazing how far that would get you.
Yeah.
Now I had a couple.
You went into E mode.
I had a couple goose and sodas. I had a couple goose and sodas.
Yeah, but you did. You do have E in your back pocket to pull out.
You
from
went
time
into
to time.
E mode.
Well, I guess in a disaster, I just get thrown out. I'm not gonna get arrested, right? So I just go and I walk in and I sat down at the.
I didn't even notice.
You know the discovery. The discovery. There was a little.
I see
laminate
the video. We can play the video.
Said, yeah,
you were like,
it's all in the back.
So I sat. I sat there and by the way, it was great. They bought me stat sheets between periods. I knew who was getting a lot
so
of ice.
So this is
time.
The first period, everybody, as you're listening and watching.
This was
the first period. Now, me and Scotty at this point. And by the way, Kevin is one of the, I will say this, Kevin Connolly, all right? You couldn't put another celebrity in a situation that Kevin was in where he couldn't walk 4 feet with people either calling him E, trying to give him a hug, stopping for pictures. Everyone in the arena knew you, right?
They probably assumed I had tickets.
Right. They did. Okay.
They
didn't know that you were.
I'm guessing.
So
Sean says, you think Owen Wilson would have done that? I said, no, Owen Wilson has tickets.
He had a box.
Owen Wilson has tickets.
Fair enough, but Owen Wilson could not have handled what you walked through. You were in the jungle. You were slicing with your machete, and you were on it.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to us. We lost Kev in the first period.
No,
we went into hide, and we went to, like, the overhang where people can watch the
we
game.
We thought we were going
to try to buy my disappointment with a shot of whiskey. I said, get out of here.
And by the way,
we meet up at the bar, and Sean's like, all right, it's like confirmation. This is it. We have no seats, but hey, got you this shot of whiskey. I was like, I'm fucking out.
Well,
here,
I did
bro.
Say to, I said to Sean, because I feel like Sean did, you felt like you let him down a little bit. Yeah.
Come on. I was trying to get him oiled,
liquored up.
Yeah. I was trying to get him oiled. Said,
take the edge off.
I said, give him 2 more drinks. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, I was fine then. I just was on my own mission
to go
find my seat.
So let's time check it. This is the end of the first period going into the second. Where'd you watch the second period, Kevin?
Well,
because
I was in the bathroom. And, you know, I'm like trying to keep my head down best way I can. And I hear, hey, what's up, Cons? I look and it's George Peros. Head of what is he head of safety?
Development safety
player safety
player
right
safety.
Like if he's got to look at that Tkachuk hit,
He's the guy that decides who gets suspended for how long and how much.
Yeah. And I said to him, shake hands after freshly washed hands.
Yes.
And I say, hey, freshly can you tuck me away in your box for a little while? And he's like, you don't have a seat? I'm like, I don't, actually. I don't have a seat. He's like, sure. And I go in and I'm sitting in with Peros and...
And one of his people?
A couple of the guys. They were doing the voting for the Conn Smythe. Oh, I was in a... Big time box, but you know, and Georgie's a button up guy, so I kept it very buttoned up. I knew I had to keep.
Hold on,
great posture, tuck the goose and soda to the side.
You kind of just glossed over the fact that so you were witnessing the Conn Smythe votes tallying or coming in.
No, the guy that was in there is tallying the votes.
Right, so you saw it.
I saw him.
You saw him, but you didn't see the votes.
I didn't pop over his head and say, what do you got going on over here?
Try and catch the early line.
How's it looking?
FanDuel. Shout out FanDuel. I guess Jack Eichel was 22-1 to win the Conn Smythe the night before the game.
Yeah.
Now, Marshy, fucking undrafted, the first undrafted player to win the Conn Smythe. You want to talk about that is monumental. Jonathan Marchessault. Mm-hmm. All right, don't take anything away from this kid. What a story, what a warrior. But 22-1, shout out FanDuel, Jack Eichel should have won the Conn Smythe. I will say this right now.
You could certainly make a case for it. But we're not done with you yet, Sean. We're not done with you yet.
All right, so.
So now that the second period has ended, you're right. I am a little bit looser.
Okay.
Couple drinks.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm not going to watch the rest of this.
You're not
going to
wear
George
your
Peros.
Welcome out.
I don't think they want me here for the third period, if I'm being totally honest. So I very grateful. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Away I go. Now I'm coming back to find you guys.
Where are we at this point?
You guys are back at the Hyde Lounge, which is where we run into, and this is what we got to talk about. By the way, let's call it what it is. Shout out Spittin' Chiclets.
They fucking bailed
us out.
Well, they took us in.
I don't know if we wanted to pivot to them yet.
Well, hold on. So I was identified by the good graces of God somehow, needle in a haystack. I walk into a section at the top of the arena looking for seats because I still know we're going to get those top seats. And who do I see the first row? I see Witt. I see Arm Dog. I see Merles. I see Mike Grinnelli.
That Merles is an animal, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Merles Holy mackerel.
And they're in a row. They're in the nosebleeds, and they got a row of seats, okay? Oh, R.A. was also there. This was actually at the end of the second period. So now these guys are also well-oiled at this point. And when I say well-oiled, that is an understatement. They're fresh off the oil line.
They were.
Okay? I have never seen... I'll say this right now. All you Spittin' Chiclets fans, you have no idea what goes on behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. They are as advertised.
They are as advertised.
They are a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
All of them individually taking down their own buildings
at
different times.
By the way, they're a great team. They pick each other up when one guy's lagging, and the other guy comes out of the gate with a strong performance.
Yes. So... Somehow, anyways, with...
Grinnelli gave me a fucking media pitch.
Well, that wasn't Grinnelli. That was Armstrong.
Oh, okay, but it was...
Colby
okay.
Armstrong, who, by the way...
Right,
I
but
had
he's
some...
he's a Chiclets guy, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Former NHL player. Mm-hmm. I think he won a Stanley Cup or maybe multiple. I don't know. Army's the man, mm-hmm. okay?
He got us the media pass.
Great guy.
So at this point, we now... Witt says, we're looking for a little bit more action, okay? Because these guys were... The seats were a little bit too boring for them at this point. They're going now
at least
to
they
Hyde.
Had seats.
Well, and that's where the beautiful handoff and where this whole story comes together. All right. Now, all of a sudden, the three of us are watching together as a team in a beautiful row of empty seats. I believe Army joined us. Mm-hmm. RA was sort of in and out because RA is on a different wavelength and on a different planet than the rest of us hockey fans.
He gets after it.
He gets after it. We're a team now. We're in there. Kev's got fully credentialed. Okay, he's fully credentialed.
His credential bailed us out of jams.
We are watching the third period. Vegas is shit kicking Florida as a
which
team.
I also think helped.
No, that was going to be my point.
What? That the atmosphere?
No, the fact that
the game loosened up a little bit.
The fact
so
that
people...
Vegas was up 6-1 at the end of the second period saved you on the tickets. Because if it was a 2-2 game going into the third. Those guys aren't giving up their seats. We got nowhere to sit, and we're missing out on all the action.
All right.
It was a party after What?
Well,
halfway through the first period.
But at the end of the second period, it was like, all right, let's just get ready for the celebration.
Okay, well, past is prologue, and we ended up where we ended up, and that's a beautiful fucking story.
It sure is.
We have faith in the system. All right. So the
but
third
they took
period,
good care of us, those guys.
They took did. Good Very care. Good. Yes, thank you to those guys. Now, I want to play something, Kevin, and because he was now Kevin's a man of the people. Just give your little spiel about. Well, I want to show the video of the greatest video you've ever taken or gift you've.
It can't be. We can't skip over though. We're missing a whole chunk.
What? Missing.
We're missing Omnia.
Oh no, we're
still
at the game,
bro.
Okay, all right. Still at the game. Jesus.
Okay. Play the video, Kevin. This guy that sat in front of us. All right, he's with his 7-year-old son. He's an Irishman. He's in Cirque du Soleil. The guy is a fucking legend.
Oh, I didn't know that. Was he actually an actor in
Cirque du Soleil? He's an actor in Cirque du Soleil. Didn't you remember saying to this guy, like, you're Russell Crowe?
Oh, yeah, but I didn't know he was Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, yeah, he's an actor. Kevin plays, takes a video that this guy will look at for the next 40 years.
Well, he was trying to get a picture with his kid. He was trying to get the right angle. I said, I'll shoot it.
Yes.
I'll use my cinematic skills to shoot it. And then I'll send you the videos. Yeah. So I airdropped him 20-25 pictures and a couple of videos for him and his kid.
I wouldn't say a video. I would say it was a cinematic masterpiece.
Oh, there was a camera move.
You did a pan and it came back through.
Turn around the corner.
So now we're helping everyone. Everyone's helping each other. The vibe is beautiful. All right. We just watch Vegas hoist the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that was great. That was fun.
And you know, we saw Marchessault get the Conn Smythe.
Yep.
I was a little bit aggravated at how long it took to set it up from the time that the game ended to they brought out fucking stanchions or something, and that it was just background pieces.
They built that weird stage.
It's a little set.
It wasn't a stage. It was a set.
Yeah.
Just get the cup.
Well, they needed to put the fireworks in the background and all the stuff.
That was the fireworks machines. That's what they were. Yeah, get the cup. Gary, give your spiel, okay? And we want to see Mark Stone raise that cup. And let's start this party.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, I want to tell everybody, maybe you can show a clip of this. There was thousands of people outside watching the game. It made the Maple Leaf fans look like a joke. There was a lot of people.
Pull up this picture.
I have a picture of it, too.
Look at this picture.
Oh, you got... Oh, my God, Kev, how did you get this picture taken on one of your rogue missions, by the way? Because neither of us took this picture.
Which one was it?
On a balcony.
By the way, there was a girl standing up there, and I said, hey, can you get this shot? And she's like, sure. And I got the shot, and then I ran up the stairs, and she texted me.
So how many strangers have you... like, this is what makes him so beautiful. It's like, not worried about the phone number. Like, you needed that picture.
What was she going to do? Prank me?
I don't know. No.
Was she going to dox me?
No. Again, Owen Wilson's not doing this. This guy is a machine. Okay.
Great photo.
The machine.
Come on, look at that. I don't know why it looks like I have my hand on my cock. It looks like I'm doing something weird to my penis, but...
So there's all these people out. This is where I'll say, okay, this is where the experience comes in. You got all the fanfare, you got marching bands, Elvis, you got fireworks, they're blowing rockets. Vegas is a show, all right? The problem is, because they're so young and they don't understand, as soon as that game was done, all right, they should have had the security ready and Stone should have ran out there and hit that stage with the cup. That was a missed opportunity by the team. You had thousands of people still out there. It's a beeline. You're like a rock star.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Go from inside the arena out to that stage.
Oh, wow.
Raise the cup.
Out in front of that crowd.
Get them fucking going crazy.
Yeah, get the city in a frenzy.
And now start the party.
Okay, I like that, Sean.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Because when we walked out of there, mm-hmm. you know, an hour and a half after the game, with a ragtag group of individuals, the people had dispersed.
Yeah.
Right? Because they hadn't
really remember that part.
Well...
We walked over to Caesars.
Oh, we walked over to Caesars. That's what it was.
No, we said, Kevin said, I got this, all right?
I'm taking over.
I'm taking over. Basically, you walked from T-Mobile to the first available casino, which was MGM Park.
That's exactly what happened.
And that was it. That was your plan. And you guys, not only that, you stopped at the first card table that you could physically stop at. And this is where we'll then go into the second part of the evening.
Okay.
Okay, because what I witnessed in the bonding between Cons and Merles and Armdog and Whitney and the whole group came together as I watched and played penny slots. I saw an onslaught of behavior that I haven't seen in a long time at a fucking card table.
People get fired up when they're playing cards.
They do.
Is that all you have about it?
I made some poor choices at that table.
Well, let's start with one.
I doubled 14. It didn't go over well.
What do you mean you doubled 14? So you just thought that you were going to pull the card and you just doubled just down on 14?
Yeah.
What was the dealer showing?
10.
Wow.
Okay.
The dealer said, you know, I have to be honest, I've never seen somebody do that before.
You just had a gut feeling.
Yeah.
You got to trust the gut.
Yeah.
Okay. And now that then blossomed
into the pit boss is kind of a loud. He was a squeaky fucking loudmouth, that pit boss. And I could say it, sitting here totally sober and say that. And I still think that he was a whiner. He's not the guy when you're getting buried at a table. You don't want to look up and see his demeanor. Yeah, I asked for a breakfast voucher.
Yeah, he didn't. You asked for a breakfast voucher and you also asked for a house chip.
I don't even know what that is.
Like, well, I said to myself the next morning, I was like, is that some old school Vegas thing where there used to be house chips? Or is that a movie term?
I don't know. Maybe because I made it up on the spot.
The way you sold it to this man. He did also question whether it was an old school term and there was a house chip drawer that he could go to.
I need a house chip.
And you wouldn't lay off of him because you wanted back in the game.
Wait, did you see how, but he also was very, very irritable. Like getting him riled up was like taking candy from a baby.
He wasn't happy.
Yeah.
He wasn't, and neither was I, bro.
Yeah.
Neither was I.
Let's talk about the relationship you bonded with Merles at the table.
Merles is... this is just a guy that can throw his hands at in any social situation.
He also told us in an elevator in a very aggressive way that he's the only player that has ever played with Sidney Crosby, Mario Lemieux, and been coached by Wayne Gretzky.
Yes, he did say that.
I heard that stat. I was trying to piece it together as it was happening. I didn't.
He was angry at me from the jump.
Yeah.
He's like, where did you play? And I was like, I played club hockey. And then that's when he's like, well, I'm the only player to have lived with Sid and played with Gretzky.
He actually referred to club hockey as beer league. He said it was the same thing.
I mean, it's not far off.
Okay. For the sake of time.
We get to the club. No.
First of all, I have a quick suggestion. Yeah.
Maybe we make this a two-parter.
No, let's go. We got to go. Okay. I'll tell you right now. So Kevin... You know, I'm taking a little bit of the heat. All right, I
were you feeling the heat?
Whatever.
Were you hearing
at
whispers?
At this point, no. Okay. Here's when I flipped the script on you. Is after we spent 2 hours, I went and got an unbelievable cacio pepe at Italy that really kind of held me over. But as we wasted 2 hours roaming from casino to casino.
Gambling, bro.
With a drunk group of savages, gambling, talking shit, fighting with pit bosses. Finally, Kevin pulls out the phone because we know that the Stanley Cup's going to where?
Omnia.
Finally, Kevin pulls out the phone, which he has the ability to do, and basically call anyone in Vegas, certainly a host or anyone that has ever or works at a club.
It felt bad for me because they heard I didn't have a seat in the game.
Not only he didn't need to call them directly, he called the guy that owns all of them, and I witnessed it. And I know Jason, all right? I know Jason, legendary individual, and I know Kevin knows him much longer.
I've just known him for a long time.
Yeah, he makes the call. Now, all of a sudden, we have people coming out of doorways. They are greeting us, all right? We now have
it's nice
the,
to get treated with a little respect around here.
We now have the red carpet rolled out to us into the space where the Stanley Cup is coming, and... have given the best table. We're in the DJ booth.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
Okay. So it goes old school. Kevin has been in the trenches, fought many wars. Fine. Fair enough. All right. I know. Okay. I got some time. Now I'm getting tired, guys, at this point. You know that, right? You can see it. I'm lagging.
Yeah, but you talked on the plane. You were like, I might not come home for 3 days. I'm staying at Eichel's house. I mean, you made some egregious...
You did say you were going to be an absolute animal.
You made some egregious statements. And then Scotty and I were debating, and I was like trying to track it based on videos that I shot. What time you left?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So fair enough. I left. Originally, I left. I left at around I guess it might have been 11:40 I left. I was in, stepping my foot inside the taxi as I look up, and I am staring at Paul Bissonnette, Henrik Lundqvist, and they're staring at me, and they both are like, where the fuck are you going? So now, okay, fuck, I guess I'm coming back in. I walked.
Oh, so you already left.
I was in the taxi. Physically, I had put one foot in the taxi, and Biz and Hank are staring dead at me. All right, so now I got to go back. I go back. Okay, and by the way, hey, thank you, because when I got back, the red carpet was still rolled out, and me, physically, I just walked everyone else back in. I brought Hank and Biz back in. So now I'm back in. Now I'm thinking, how long is the Stanley? Where's the cop? And these guys, everyone's going. Now it's going. All right, fine. I tapped out at 1:40 p.m. I know nothing of what happened after this point, and a lot happened.
Well, they brought the cup in.
Yeah.
Well, you saw, well, Lundqvist and those guys came and...
Well, yeah, I brought them into the right. table, and I got the just, table switched around.
Got hammered, and then at like 3 o'clock or 2:45, the cup showed up.
Right, but the cup showed up as you guys were leaving?
No, Scotty and I weren't going anywhere. Bro.
Oh, I thought the cup, you were leaving, and you saw it on the way in.
No,
so you
no,
saw
no,
the
no,
cup
no.
walk into the club?
Yeah.
Kevin and I, we had a few talks where it's like, should we go? And I think I said to you, like, dude, I'm staying to see the cup.
And by the way...
Kev was all in. He said, I agree.
Yeah. Who, I mean, and like, where are we going anyway? We're going home, right?
Right, yeah.
And who forgot to tell me that Steve Aoki was going to do a DJ set at 2 in the morning or 2:30 in the morning?
Sorry. When, you must have been bogged down in ticket discussions.
Okay.
But when he showed up, it was confirmation to me that the cup would be entering the building at some point in time.
Right.
Aoki's not going to go to a Tuesday night.
Not to mention, you gotta know that contractually, who knows, sponsorship-wise,
right,
the cup's going to be at the Wynn.
Right.
It's got to be at this place. It's got to be at that place. And that was the closer.
Yeah.
Because not that long after, Scotty and I we leave.
Well, show the picture of Scotty that you took, which is a cinematic.
The picture of you with the cup. Did you see it?
The masterpiece.
No. I got a good picture of you. It's in your phone.
It's incredible.
It's up here right now.
Really?
It's you.
It's the best picture I've ever seen. And it looked like it was popping.
It was popping.
So you met the guys.
What guys?
You met the cup, Mark Stone.
Jack, tell
everyone.
Well, yes, so
you're hanging with the guys.
No. We did not hang with the guys because they were on the stage. We were kind of set back, and they were doing their thing. We were minding their own.
Yeah, Aiden Hill did a freestyle to what was it? Lose Yourself.
He absolutely fucking botched it.
He botched it. Yeah.
That's a tough song to sing.
Yeah.
And I would give him a 2 out of 10. I think he should not quit the preferred day job.
Yeah.
That's
hey,
for
yeah.
sure.
Hey,
but
great.
He was just on one. He could do whatever he wants.
Okay.
So eventually, Scotty and I are like, all right, let's head out. So now we walk out of the, and we're sort of heading to the valet. And it's like, you know, it's in the lobby. It's bright, the valet. And all of a sudden, we turn around, and there is the Mark Stone is standing in the lobby with the Stanley Cup with Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
Just the two
and,
of them?
And Quick.
And then John the Quick. Then they all started coming out, and we were all just basically waiting for our cars. But the cup was there. It was very strange. But Scotty...
Well, were people excited to see Kevin?
They were, yes. they were all very excited.
I know a bunch of them.
I know Quick.
I know Quick.
And
I know his
Kessel.
Wife, Jackie, who stiff-arms me in the face every time she sees me. Yeah, Kessel. So
Phil the Thrill.
Phil Ripken Jr., bro. That's
Phil,
what I call
you
him.
Called him that?
Yeah, I called him.
Still going.
Phil Ripken Jr.
It's like the Energizer Bunny.
Seemed to be in a great mood.
I'm sure he was.
Scotty.
I'm sure he felt great.
Scotty decides to tell Jonathan Quick, I beat you 5-0.
I did. I let him know that I scored on him.
He was not necessarily in agreement.
He was not thrilled.
Are you serious?
You heard him say. Oh, I heard him say I was standing there.
But
I introduced them.
But also,
the guy just won a Stanley Cup. Okay,
it's up.
Four
Connelly.
In the morning.
Connelly brought it.
Hold
up.
Hold on.
Connelly brought it up. He goes, "Hey, Quick, you hear Scotty scored on you back in the day?" It wasn't like I fucking went up to him and was like, "Beat you 5-0, bro."
Did you double down?
And he goes, "And no."
Well, I did score on
him.
Yo,
Johnny Quick goes, "Where'd you get me?" And he goes, 5-0. 5-0.
5-0 came across the middle.
And then they started talking about dates and times. He was trying to trip Scotty up, maybe catch him in a lie.
Well, it was 06 or 07, and he said, I was playing for the Kings in 07.
I was
it wasn't
07. Well, it sounds the reason.
It was like a summer of 06 or summer of 07. He was not playing for the Kings then.
Okay. Well, anyways, it was his third Stanley Cup, and Mazel Tov to the Quick.
And by the way, I made sure that he knew that. That I was very proud of him.
And he was also joking.
He was joking.
He was playing into the bit. You know what he was doing? He's playing into the bit. But he got in your face.
He did get in my face.
He got in your face.
Well, as he should. As he should. Just quickly, I just want to, as I remember, okay? Pietrangelo, who, by the way, when I said, Kev, did any of the guys ask about me?
Pietrangelo said it with a whisper. Where's Heaps?
What'd you say?
Is he gonna tackle me? I'm like, oh, I think you're safe. He's long gone right now. You know, he's waiting for you to come out, right? Well, because what are you gonna say to them? You're gonna say, congratulations. By the way, where are my fucking tickets?
No, the guys are all happy to see me. They wanted to see me. Anyways, whatever. Pietrangelo, I just saw, almost quit hockey 6 months ago because his daughter had a brain lesion. Oh, she was in the building, witnessing him winning the Stanley Cup because they are a family unit. They stuck with it. You know, Father's Day is this weekend. I mean, Mazel Tov.
Right.
It's just a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah, he's just had a great career. I mean, right? That's not, you know, I guess some people fall into things accidentally, but this guy is just like undeniably. Yeah. Is he a Hall of Famer?
He's a number one defenseman.
Is he a guy that is in a conversation?
I just got goosebumps, man. I love the guy. I hope to meet him someday. I've never even met him, I don't think. But fuck yeah. I'll leave you guys with this because it's 12:27. I have a 1 o'clock audition. Let me just tell everybody, okay? So I was home. I was in the hotel. I was sleeping. We had an 8:20 a.m. flight. It's pretty fucking early for Vegas, okay? My alarm's set for 6 a.m. It goes off. I wake up. Scotty's not in his room. I don't know what happened, but Kevin and Scotty left me in Vegas, and they decided to take an earlier flight home. So fuck both of you guys.
Whoa.
I got to go.
Whoa.
I love you both. You can finish.
I tried calling you.
Look, at that point, a lot of things happened.
A lot of things happened.
And at that point, quite frankly, it was every man for himself, Sean. I think you would agree.
And I mean, what he doesn't know is that you left me as well.
No, that's not true.
Yes,
bro.
I went, Kevin, I'll meet you right here at this bar. You went up to your room to get your suitcase.
And then when I get my backpack, I called you, and you said, I'm on my way to the airport.
No.
Yes.
Scotty, you had already left.
Scotty, I was in the lobby. I was lost
said
in the
you
lobby.
You said, I got a little turned around. I couldn't find the bar.
Right, I got lost. I got confused in the casino. Whatever it was. Listen, Sean, you're probably going to watch this. So I probably shouldn't be saying this, but come on, bro. You dropped the fucking ball.
Big time.
On the tickets.
Big time.
Thank you, though. Yeah. You definitely did not disappoint the crowd. And again, thank you to the Chicklets guys. You bailed us out.
I mean,
those guys were awesome.
Top shelf, top tier guys. Awesome
guys.
And thank you both. I had
that was awesome.
Unreal time.
You'll love that picture.
Yeah.